Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. We've got Chuck and Chris on in the office, and I think Jeff's about ready to walk in.
Okay.
Afternoon, everybody. Tommy's on.
Hey, Tommy. Welcome.
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, Austin is out sick, and are John and Scott dialing in?
I don't know.
Yeah, John and Scott are out of town, so we're not sure they're going to make it out.
Skeleton crew today in the office.
Okay.
I don't know. John's in Montana, so it's not like he's overseas, but I don't know what their itinerary looked like, and Scott could be paragliding for all we know, so some of the people have not removed their thumb from the desk. Okay. But they may dial in. You want to text them? Very good.
Yeah, John and Scott.
Yeah, we'll text them and see if they're dialing in, Rob.
Okay, thanks.
Let's text the group.
Rob, before we, I guess, while we're waiting to hear an answer from them, what were the highlights that you kind of wanted to discuss today?
I love the fact that you guys are reporting in on your using the five-star model. So I want to continue that. The week 9 is focused on acquisition primarily. We leave behind segmentation and organization, but through the five-star model, we'll hopefully, if you all give me an update on that. One of the things I did was when I went, I redid the whole workbook last week and a half or 2 weeks, and one of the things that came out of it was that in reporting in, everybody continues to get more and more responsibility, except for the director of planning. And I don't really have a place to put segmentation. So from a work asset allocation responsibility point of view, not necessarily a lot of work, but responsibility. I would, you know, we discussed it as a team and decided that that particular responsibility of segmentation on an ongoing basis would be the responsibility of the director of planning. Now it's up to you guys how you want to handle everything, but
I thought that it would be appropriate and leave it there.
I was going to say that segmentation is relatively complete from the standpoint that since we just moved a year ago, it was the opportunity for us to segment as we were transitioning. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's important to, you know, maybe we'll have a follow-up with, you know, Chuck, you or you know, maybe Chuck, you could be responsible. Follow up with Natalie and say, okay, Jeff is 99% completed of his monthly calls and his butlers. And, you know, we've also added whatever, a couple COIs to the calendar, maybe. And then kind of go through until everyone is 100%. Is that what you're thinking, Rob?
Yeah, and then on an annual basis, I mean, just to kind of keep, because if you're the director of planning, you want everybody to have a plan that's an ongoing dynamic plan, which you update periodically. If somebody sneaks in to the team over, you know, the year through a reassignment or something, and they don't – meet your minimums and they don't have a plan, then somebody's got to call that out, right? And either, you know, upgrade them or segment them out. So periodically, and the other thing is raising the minimum, right? That's an annual event based on the fact that you grew that year. Therefore, your minimums go up. So that's a segmentation issue. You don't have to segment immediately, but if you guys are getting to the capacity stage, then you want to be segmenting out. Bring one in, get rid of one. Bring one in, get rid of one. So it becomes kind of an ongoing accountability issue. Where are we? Is anybody looking at it? And there's really nobody assigned to look at it. So that's why we gave it there, because they're the person that's kind of looking at everybody having a plan, therefore kind of has to know everybody in the book, you know.
Got it.
So
I think we were having mostly John with Brand working on that stuff, but we could just carve it out as well, because
yeah.
Our opinion was the Brand is having that, so the call.
Yeah,
should...
that's kind of where I left it, you know, before this. So if you guys, I mean, you're kind of my a team that's really doing this well. So, you know, I'll let you guys decide if you think it belongs in Brand, it can stay in Brand. But I was trying to balance thing out because every week, director of marketing gets more and more and more.
Yes.
And
the burden.
Everybody else seems to just get what they were originally given, you know?
I do know. we haven't heard. Scott's not apparently available. Haven't heard from John. So, you know, we'll give you a quick update from planning and marketing, and and go from there. I don't know.
Kind of did that last week. I mean, it's just still doing. Yeah, I mean, for planning, we kind of talked about that last week. I think most people have plans, and we're just tackling them as the annual reviews pop up. So there's nothing that's really a glaring hole of trying to get that done in the interim. So there's not really a big update there.
Okay. Implementation, the 24-month calendar.
So they're not here. So this is Jeff. I kind of speak on, I guess, the other stuff that
okay.
got accomplished. So we are updating the Mini-Me folders. We got new folders that were ordered. We are branding them and changing what's included in them, as well as the welcome letter. We met with somebody today because we're doing a lot of external marketing. You know, we do already have a good grasp on getting referrals from clients, but we're trying to be more proactive. So we actually had a pitch with a big CPA firm that went extremely well.
Right.
And they're going to formalize. I think that they want to work with us. We've worked with them in the past, and we've got one-off referrals, but now we've kind of went through the step process of, okay, we met with them, they went with us, we did that whole, and then we are doing the same thing with a local bank. We've done the first couple steps of that. And again, it's a business bank, specializing in commercial lending and business owners, so we have the same type of clientele and not something that we focus on here at Raymond James. So we've started that. We met this morning about brochures for leave behinds for our centers of influence, because that's going to be part of Liz's job, be out of the office more, to really find out what the six best COIs are for each individual. So I wrote mine down. Austin's gotten me his, and I'm going to meet with everybody. So that way, again, we can utilize Liz's time to the best of who do we want to go down the road and see if they are a good fit or not. And so we started that this past week. So there's been a lot on the marketing end of in organizing that. And we, you know, even made pipelines in the pipe in the software where, hey, where are we with these relationships? So again,
right,
moving forward with that. I don't know from a implementation standpoint if there's been much change since last week. But yeah, most of it's been that I know of what I was working on with marketing.
The enthusiastically endorsed list project, that was pretty the conversation was strong on that last week. What's the follow through been and how's that going?
So I made a list in the tracking software for our enthusiastically endorsed professionals. I added the ones that I've received so far. I don't know the status. Hopefully I'll get it maybe tomorrow from if anyone else has received anything.
I have a couple to add.
So our plan is to add them on our Tuesday morning meetings and discuss them.
Right.
So kind of put the process in place, have added a couple, and it's kind of going to be the 2021 and the 2020 goals. But the biggest one for me is just establishing who the COIs are for each person and for how we'll actually grow the hit 150 million, which will be a challenge, but we shall see.
Okay, good. One of the things was this, since most firms, I think all of them, require you give three names when you give an introduction. How do you service three different CPAs? How do you manage that? And so I came up with a model, and, you know, do what you want with it. But the idea was, I used the baseball analogy, that theoretically you would meet with your top CPA once a month. They'd be at bat. You'd meet with your second CPA quarterly. They'd be on deck. And then your third CPA would be in the dugout, and you'd meet with them twice a year. That way, it's work, but it's not, you know, crazy work. Does that sound like it?
Are you saying, though, we would have, you know,
yes,
18 CPAs, six, three for each person, or do you think there would be bleed over? I mean, what's your opinion?
I think that for your, you guys will have to decide that, but
okay,
maybe you could, you know, where you have the advantage of teammates, it probably would make sense to have one that you meet with every month each. And then when you need three, you recommend the other guys.
Okay. That makes more sense to me too. That way,
yeah, then,
really,
I mean, then
you're concentrating on you're, 6 to 10, not 18 CPAs.
Right.
And
now,
that goes
over time, you... Yeah, over time, you guys decide on, you know, are we getting enough, are we getting the leverage that we want from being a team? Should we up that, or is this, you know, the advantage of having a team? That we got six guys meeting with a center of influence every month, that's fabulous penetration, and, you know, we're all selling the same team. So, you know, I think I think that would be, you know, that's the advantage of a team, because you got to give three. So, you know, how are you going to keep three? Frankly, how do you keep three plants watered, right? You got to water them or they're not going to live. And in this case, you got that advantage. So, yeah, I would probably just go with a one each in each of the areas. And then think about a master list. You know, the best of the best list for the team.
Well, that's what we created in the software, was that was going to be our master list.
You know, and then you know that becomes the. I mean, with that kind of team leverage, you can have a pretty hot group of centers of influence, and they certainly will jump when you call, because you've got a lot of juice there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's good. What in the, we covered a lot in week nine, in the video. We cover the entire marketing gamut. What were you struck by? What were you, questions do you have? What are you thinking?
I mean, the biggest thing that I don't think we've been able to develop yet are the, at least me personally, is the mastermind group. I think we're still figuring out who our COIs are and then going to try to make matchmaker with them. At least that's where I am. I thought I had a good idea, and then I was told by a couple people that maybe the one of the COIs I thought would be good at is not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that kind of made me go back to the drawing board a little bit. So I haven't, I don't think anyone has set that up yet. That's kind of, people are still trying to establish who their COIs are, and that's kind of why we're doing the one-on-one meetings.
Yeah, and that's fine. Mastermind groups are a brilliant idea. They take some time, organization structure to make them come true. And they're not something you just want to throw together, because it's kind of a career commitment. You know, you're committing your entire lifetime, unless somebody screws up, you want to be with these people your whole career. So you want to pick the upwardly mobile people that you like, trust. So they got to be very special people.
Yeah.
And one of the concepts that we use is this idea of a person is a, you know, I've probably talked to you, maybe I haven't. The Adam Grant book, Givers and Takers.
Yeah.
Did I cover that?
You have to, yeah, they give to receive type of thing.
Well, Adam Grant wrote a book that there's three kinds of people in the world: givers, takers, and matchers. And he was curious as to what was the most successful givers, takers, or people. Matchers are people that will do something for you as long as you do something for them. And you know, givers. I mean, somebody said, who's a taker? I said, Bernie Madoff was a taker. Right, he appeared to be a giver, you know, involved in all these charities, and that's a nice guy. And he was a thief, the worst of the takers. Givers are people that give without really asking for anything in return. They're just generous, nice, helpful, giving people. So who's the most successful? Well, the most successful are givers. They also happen to be the least successful. And what makes the difference between a giver that's successful and one that is not successful. It has to do with them taking care of themselves first. So before they helped another person in college, they made sure they got an A. And when they're in the workplace, they make sure they do their work before they help somebody else do their work. They're always interested in doing the work. They just make sure that they're taken care of. So you've probably known people in work that are such givers that they don't even get their own work done. I mean, I had a guy like that. He was such a, he was a coach and a giver and a,
but he could have done so much better if he'd have taken care of himself first.
So what's the point of it? In your centers of influence, you want to make sure you're doing business with givers, not matchers or takers. People that genuinely make up their mind, they like you, they trust you, and they're going to refer to you regardless of whether you refer to them, even though, of course, it's nice. It's a rule of reciprocity. But they're not, you know, they like you. And the same with you. So you want to make sure your centers of influence are givers, but particularly you want to make sure your mastermind group is made up of givers. So if somebody warned you about somebody, they were probably warning you that they were not a giver. Okay? I doubt it's because they weren't technologically, you know, they weren't technically strong. It had probably more to do with the personality. Am I right or wrong?
So two people I've got, one was executive. The other one was actually I don't want to say competency, it was a responsive issue where they were not responsive to referrals that somebody had given them on multiple different occasions.
Yeah. But, so they were, yeah, they just weren't, they didn't have the systems in place to follow up.
Correct. But
they weren't competent when it came to interpersonal relationships. They might have been good at the work they did.
Correct.
But not in the work that they were given. So, good decision on that. It's amazing. There are very few people that do it all and are genuinely good, nice people.
And I still struggle with, you know, do I genuinely, because I do care about this person, and I know there will be a time where I need to have a conversation with them, because I would love to help them to be, have a systems in place to be more, because they are a good person and they are competent, but they are a organizational mess from what I'm gathering. So maybe they could be a COI in the future if they're willing to.
Right.
Change their structure.
So do you know them personally? Went to school with them or something?
Yes. My wife and the two wives went to school together.
Right. So you like this guy and you really want to help him.
Yeah.
Okay. So give him the book. Tell him what we're doing. And spend a little time, you know. Maybe once every 2 months, have lunch or breakfast or something and kind of tell him what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're terrific. He can refer to you. You don't have to refer to him. And just make it clear, you know, that what you like about the people that you're doing business with now as centers of influence are their ability to manage the process as well as the product. And and that's how important that is to you.
We did give, you'll get some more residuals. We ordered three books for the CPA firm that we met with because they said, well, we need to be even more organized. And so we sent them three of your books. So
awesome.
So, you know, have a latte on us.
Well, isn't that, you know, that's, I've heard people do that, but it's just so rewarding when you tell me that, because I'm convinced that every one of these law firms and any service organization needs Supernova. Now, I don't want to coach them because,
no.
You know, I just don't. I want to do what I want to do, right? But I love the fact that they know they need it, which is they do. It's very exciting. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for recommending the book. Terrific.
That's
okay. What about niches? We haven't talked a lot about that.
So I think, you know, we have not yet drilled down enough on niches because, again, with our target client, you're really talking about, in general, business owners. I think it's very difficult to accumulate the wealth. Yes, you could have your executive here and there, but even those executives, I mean, you're going to have to be, you know, there's not as much opportunity as there is with business owners, and we don't come across them at least as much as we would like. So it's been very much, okay, because we've built a big practice on physicians, and the concern is, do we need to steer away from physicians because they will not accumulate $5 million unless they own their own practice. And so
right.
So that's kind of been the one thing that we have focused on, but otherwise it's been very broad, and we've just said business owners. We have not drilled down, I don't know if you have, Chris or Chuck, on specific niches within that, which I think we need to, but at the same time, when we look across our business owners, there hasn't really been a common thread. I mean, a little bit more automotive, but not necessarily all manufacturing or all, you know, one area or another. So I don't think,
mm-hmm.
I think there's an opportunity there, but we also don't even know exactly where to start at this point. Unless we do have an agreement with this firm, they specialize in subsidiaries, U.S. subsidiaries of European companies. So, you know, we do have a couple of those, just two, but that is their specialty. And if they start referring business to us, obviously it would become a greater niche. But that's more of a subset of us working with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if you have any advice there. Other than
if I picked up the business journal, which I assume you have one, right?
Yes.
What would the companies be that would populate that list that have done well, stocks have appreciated, and are growing?
Amazon. We actually have a huge contingent of Amazon executives.
The majority of them in Metro Detroit are non-publicly traded. I mean, you've got the big three that dominate, and there's this massive manufacturing base, but they're all smaller companies. So it's uncovering these niche-y small manufacturers that are all multi-generational.
Private.
Yes.
Well, private companies, private businesses that are fairly good size are a niche because they take a unique kind of financial planning process and succession planning, right? Each one is, I mean, you guys can become specialists or are specialists in succession planning for private companies, closely held private companies. That's a niche.
Like
right?
That. Yes. We're
okay,
doing that.
So
that we are doing already, so that's great.
Right, so what you say to yourself is, okay, succession planning for privately held, for closely held private companies. Okay. Now, who do you need on your team that's qualified, competent, and unique and specializes in that area? Who do you need on your mastermind niche marketing team, okay, that do what you guys don't do in the sale of that practice? And is so we did, this was done in Indianapolis, formed a mastermind group for privately held, closely held private companies, and specialized in help in the succession planning and distribution of the wealth. And it's a great niche, right? So there's, you know, the CPA in town that does it. There's, you know, the business broker that helps with the sale of the business. There's a realtor, commercial realtor, that helps with the sale of the building. Because they own the building too, right? That might be a separate sale.
Yeah. That's a good one.
See what I'm saying? And then they even had a psychologist on there to help the person psychologically get ready for the transition from being hero of the world to just a rich guy. That's a big transition, that psychologically. You might need to borrow money, so you might have your banker from that bank that you liked as part of that, in case they need to leverage it up a little, leverage buyout, and so forth. But you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, Chris made a point, too. I mean, he has been focused on, there's a very prominent divorce attorney in town that has showed a lot of interest in working with us and has sent us,
a couple of referrals
already. How do you more succinctly say, oh, we work with divorce attorneys? Is it because they're mostly?
No, that's a perfect niche. That's a wonderful niche. You know, you get certified to do that. You know, you have these suddenly single brand you create. And you could do the same thing. You could develop a mastermind group around, you know, suddenly single people and how you're going to help them. And so you got the divorce attorney, but you got other people too that specialize in helping those people. I mean, what happens typically? They need to create another residence, right? So they're not going to live together anymore, so they move. They have to move out. So somebody moves out, and they need to buy a house. So that's a realtor, right?
Yeah.
Just keep playing that game. You know, you probably have a psychologist or psychiatrist or somebody that's going to help provide counseling for a person as they go through this transition. You're there for their financial needs. What else? But that's, you kind of have the idea. You don't have to have a big group. It could be a small group.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're trying to move forward with. I like the closely held. So you're not tying yourself to a industry necessarily.
No, it's better if it's one industry, because then you will work on a national basis then. So that's okay too. So don't be afraid of that. You know, if it happens to be, you know, something that is nationwide, let's say junk dealers, right? Who happen to make $1 zillion. Junk dealers are in every city, right? And so maybe you could have all the junk dealers associations in the country. They're all privately held. They're all rich. They're all a unique kind of person. So, you know, just keep thinking about and don't restrict yourself to your local market, because you say, well, we only have one kind of auto parts dealer here, but, you know, there's others all over the country that are part of the Auto Body Association, and as long as we know how their benefits work and how they operate, then we can go to their association and then get people in every major city. And that's okay too. It's a little inconvenient, but if they have $20 million, then it's worth the trip.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
So you just, yeah, that's, so have some fun with that and look at it. And all we did today was just do a little brainstorming on the topic. So you guys can keep doing that until you, I mean, come up with, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 niches that you think are pretty good for the team. And then you can team up and explore them and build your mastermind groups. That's okay. You don't have to have just your own. It's up to you guys. I don't want you two guys digging the same hole, but at the same time, sometimes there's an advantage to working on a project together and brainstorming and creating a mastermind group together. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So make it fun. This is a fun job. There's a lot of opportunity, a lot of fun. It doesn't have to all be work and no fun. So, you know, pick things that you enjoy and people that you like. And you know, if you don't like unions, don't go starting to do business with unions. So, you know, pick people you like, niches you like, and people that you can really help. So you like closely held businesses. Great. Go for it. And then try and drill down a little more. You know, go ahead. Don't be afraid. Go to the next level and drill and drill. And then, you know, really specialize in that particular narrow niche, which might make you nationally famous in that niche, which is great. Doesn't take much to become an expert in a niche.
No.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, good. Good call. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. See ya.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.